Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for this morning will be taken from our gospel reading in John chapter 20. Confirmants, 2 years ago, we started together for confirmation instruction. And at that time, I could have begun our first class with the 31st verse of our text for today, which reads, "But these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Those words, of course, were not written specifically for a confirmation class, but they're written for the Gospel of John. These things that are written in this gospel are so that you might believe and that you might have eternal life. But they are words that are also appropriate to all of Scripture, to this gathering today, and yes, to our confirmation instruction. Something that I am passionate about. These things are written. These things I teach to you so that you may believe. You may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And in just a couple minutes from now, we are going to rejoice with you in the confession of faith that you make, that which you believe in your heart, you will speak with your lips and live with your lives. Our text for today is very much about confession. It's not just about belief, but it's also about confession. What we say about what we believe. And the confession that we heard today was Thomas's. "My Lord and my God," he said. And you remember the story that surrounds that. The disciples were in room together. The windows were closed. The doors were locked. They were afraid. They were hiding because Jesus had been crucified, and they were worried that as his disciples, they were going to be the next ones, that they would be coming after them next. And so they were afraid. You see, this is still Easter. It's the evening of that day when Jesus rose in the morning. But they didn't understand what was going on. The women had gone to the tomb and they saw that Jesus' body was not there, and the angels had told them what was going on. The women came back and told the apostles, but they were confused. What does this mean? Is he really alive? It sounds incredible. How can this be? And so there was not yet belief in this. There was confusion yet. And so now here it is, on that very same day when Jesus rose, it's in the evening now, and they are in this room, and Jesus comes and stands in their midst, and he says, "Peace be with you." And he shows them his hands and his side, the scars that he has. He says, "See, touch. Know that I really am alive. I'm not a ghost. But I have risen from the dead." The problem, of course, is that Thomas, one of the 12, is not there with them. Where he is, we don't know. He's off doing some errand, I guess. But he comes back. Jesus is left. And they say to Thomas, they're all excited. You can imagine the scene. "Thomas, Thomas, you won't believe it. We saw Jesus." And we tell him, "You're right. I don't believe you. That's crazy. How can this possibly be? Unless I see with my own eyes, unless I touch with my own hands, I'm not going to believe that." And you can imagine how the rest of the conversation went. They finally threw up their hands and said, "All right." A whole week goes by. It's the next Sunday. Again, they're in the room. Doors and windows all locked up. Jesus comes and stands in their midst. "Peace be with you. Thomas, Thomas, come here. See, look for yourself. Touch. Touch my hands. Touch my side. Know that I am not a ghost, that I truly am alive." And this is when Thomas makes his confession. "My Lord and my God," he says. And that is the cry, that is the confession of every Christian. Unless one says that, he or she is not a Christian. My Lord and my God. That's what we say of Jesus. And you know, there's really only two choices when we come to Easter. Either he's alive or he's not. Either he's resurrected or he's not. Either he's Lord and God or he's not. It really doesn't make sense to be anywhere in the middle there. It's not logical. But that's what we as humans do, right? We're pretty good at hedging. We don't like to put all of our eggs in one basket. We always like to hold some back. You know, yeah, just in case. That's not what Christianity is about. That's not what you guys are about here today. We're here to make a confession of our faith. What do we say about Jesus? My Lord and my God. Since we spent 2 years together looking at the scriptures, studying the small catechism, allow me to take a couple minutes to talk about where this confession of Thomas intersects with the small catechism, what we've been studying. And the first place is with the first commandment. You remember the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. And the meaning, you should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And so when Thomas says to Jesus, my God, what he's doing for us, helping us, is to know who God is. And it's right for us to take out that name God and put the name Jesus in there. We should fear, love, and trust in Jesus above all things. That's a valid thing to do because Jesus is God. And understanding that in the context of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. The second person of the Trinity becoming incarnate. And his life in this world, he's called Jesus. Jesus is God. And that's what Thomas helps us with here today. He says, my God. That's important for us. It's important for us in the culture in which we live because God is pretty much a generic word. Right? You know that. Somebody says God, what do they mean? Well, it can mean a whole bunch of things, right? How do you define God? It can be anywhere from a personal God to an emanation of God to just a force or an idea, nothing concrete, nothing real. It can be all kinds of things. So who is God? That's the big question. This is what Thomas's confession helps us with. It's what you will be confessing today. Jesus, my God. The other place that it intersects, the things that we were studying, is with the second article of the Creed. And I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, right? And that's exactly what Thomas confesses. My God and my Lord. And we mean that quite literally when we talk about him being our Lord, that we are subject to him, that we belong to him. And so again, you remember the meaning to the second article of the Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten from eternity, and true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. There it is again, is my Lord. We belong to him. Why is that? How did that come about? What did he do? Well, because he has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person. He has purchased and won me from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. You know, and you think about those words, redeemed and purchased. And what is the implication there? Well, it's really more than an implication, isn't it? But it's that we belong to somebody else. You know, if you have to be redeemed, if you have to be set free, it means that you are captive to someone or something else. If you have to be purchased, it means somebody else owns you and you have to be bought. So what we're talking about is, you know, again, either or. Either you're God's or you're not. And then you are in Satan's domain. See, and this is what we're talking about when he said he is our Lord. That he has set us free from the tyranny of Satan, from the tyranny of sin and death and Satan's influence. We're set free. Not to be just whatever, but to belong to God. He purchased us. He owns us. But his rule over us is not tyrannical. It's gracious. It's loving. And that's how we finish the meaning of that article. That I may live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, blessedness, and innocence. That I may serve him. We get to do that. Because God is good and gracious to us. And we freely live under him in his kingdom. You know, and sometimes, again, here, we fancy ourselves not belonging to anyone. You know, we don't like to talk about that belonging to somebody else. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman, we say to ourselves. Right? But the reality is it's not true. Going to belong to somebody, one way or another. What a joy it is to be God's, to be able to live out your purpose for what God created you to be. And that's the joy that we have today, that he has purchased and won us. Thomas's confession: my Lord and my God. Who God is and what's my relationship to him, my Lord and my God. Just one more thing today. And that is to see how this confession intersects with the way that we live every day. And Jesus tells us three things. Jesus, first of all, tells us that we are sent. Because we are his, we are sent. Even as the Father has sent me, Jesus said, so I am sending you. And we think about how was Jesus sent. He was sent to do the will of the Father and in his life to show us the Father and who the Father is. That's what Jesus said, right? I and the Father are one. We're not separate. We are one. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So this is how you know God. This is how you know who he is and what he's like, by looking at Jesus. That's the whole point of this. Now, we go in the same way, so Jesus sends us in the same manner, which means we go representing Jesus, not to do our own will, but to do his will and to show Jesus to the world by the way that we live and what we do. What a great privilege that is. Responsibility, yeah, for sure. A wonderful privilege that we are sent. Secondly, receive the Holy Spirit. Let us never think that we can do these things on our own power, but it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can be those sent ones. And so we are asking for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be doing that in the confirmation service. Talk about the receiving of the Holy Spirit. We're going to sing a hymn asking for the Holy Spirit to come in. We're always asking for God to give us his Holy Spirit. Because remember, Jesus breathed on them. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Reminds us of creation, right? God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground and he breathed life into him. Well, here too, with the Holy Spirit, he breathes spiritual life into us. That's the second thing. And third thing, Jesus says, if you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you withhold them, they are withheld. And this tells us what kind of people we are. We are forgiving people, right? That God has forgiven us, and so we go now extending that forgiveness to others. Yeah, there are times when that forgiveness is to be withheld, when there is no repentance, but the primary factor is that, you know, we're like God. We want to extend that forgiveness to others. So that's how this is lived out, this confession is lived out. You are sent, You are ones who have the Holy Spirit. You are ones who are forgiving people. Thomas helps us today. He came and he saw and he touched, and his confession was, "My Lord and my God." So too today we have come here. We've heard the story once again. We've seen as well. And we join that confession. My Lord and my God. In Jesus' name, amen.